For those of you who were here at the beginning, before Mass began, you heard that today is Mission Sunday, which is the day we take up a collection to help the world missions. It's the largest collection that's taken up in the United States. At least historically, it's been the largest collection because people have always sensed that there's something special about being generous with giving money to a group that is preaching the gospel in difficult circumstances. I was ordained in a group of eight priests back in 1970, and three of my classmates went to Papua New Guinea as missionaries. And two of them are still there after more than, 46 years as priests, leaving their culture behind, leaving their families behind. In the case of one of them, I had both his mother and his father's funeral because he couldn't get back in time for the funeral. So these missionaries are great, hugely generous people. And so I would ask you to do what you can to support the world missions. It's our way of participating in doing that. Giving our resources is, in some sense, giving them ourselves. So we ask the Lord to give us a generous spirit, a generous heart. I'd like to begin by reflecting on the opening prayer of today's Mass, because these prayers capture for us in a very few words essential parts of what it means to be a Christian. This is what we prayed. Almighty, ever-living God, increase our faith, hope, and charity. And this is the part that I want to point out to you. And make us love what you command so that we may merit what you promise. Too many of us feel that being a Christian simply means doing what God tells us to do, you know, following his rules or his orders. But this prayer reminds us that that's only kind of partway there, that the fullness of getting to be a Christian isn't to follow the rules, but to love the rules, or love what God tells us to do. They're not rules. They're really a roadmap on how to be happy. God tells us his plan for human happiness. God created us, so he knows better what leads to human happiness than we know ourselves. And so we need to ask the Lord to give us not only fidelity in following the law, but a great love for the law of God in our hearts. So we pray for that as we listen to God's word in Scripture today. The theme of today's Scripture readings is humility. And as always, the first reading prepares us for the gospel. So let's look at this passage from the book of Sirach, which is one of the books of wisdom literature in the Old Testament. It's about how to be wise, how to think and see as God thinks and sees the world in which we live. And this is what the Lord is teaching us today. The Lord is a God of justice who knows no favorites. Though not unduly partial to the weak, yet he hears the cry of the oppressed. The prayer of the lowly pierces the cloud. Now this brings up an issue. Does God love some of us more than others? You know, does God love the poor more than he loves the rich? You know, one of the things that you hear often in the church today, and we believe it to be true, is that God has a preferential love for the poor. If that's true, how can it be also true, what we read in this reading, that God knows no favorites? I think the way we can understand this is by going to our human experience, especially the experience of parents. Mom and Dad, do you love your children equally? Some of the ladies are shaking their head, yes. Did you just look at your mother to see what she was saying? You know? I don't think parents do. I think they love each child uniquely, not equally. They love each child passionately and personally, but not just like every other child, right? Every one of us is a result of our parents' love for each other, but also the result of God's creative love who imagined us into being. And so God loves each of us not in the same way, but uniquely. And passionately, and very personally, just as we are. And that's what this reading is telling us. But having said that, God also is favorably disposed to the lowly, those who are humble. And that's what leads us into today's gospel, that it's important for us who are equally loved by God to understand that God desires to respond to the needs of those who are truly humble. So let's look at today's gospel story. And once again this week, it's a parable. I was reading some time ago a commentary by a Protestant minister. His name is Dan Villa. I was reading what he said about the parables. And he said, the parables are like windows into the mind of God. When we hear one of Jesus' stories, it's telling us something about the way God sees things. But he also says that just as when we look through a window to see something, we sometimes also see ourselves in that window, you know, a reflection of ourselves. The parables, although they are a window into the mind of God, are also a mirror about whether or not we match what God says is true. You know, try to imagine this. You're, you know, looking into a window and seeing what's there, but also seeing yourself, and seeing yourself in contrast to what is on the other side of the window. And that's what Jesus wants us to do as we listen to this story today, to see the mind of God, but also see ourselves as we relate to what God is telling us. And we're told here that Jesus is addressing this story, this parable, to a particular kind of person. This is what it says. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Do you know anybody like that? Each one of you is like that. And I'm like that sometimes, you know. Sometimes we're like the Pharisee in today's gospel story. We try to be good, but we sometimes think we're better than other people. So this parable is addressed to you and to me. We're not exceptions, so don't think of somebody else. Think of yourself. Two people went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. Those of us who are older remember that we used to say that was a parable of the Pharisee and the publican. Remember those, that word, publican? It means someone who worked for the government. Okay. The Pharisees, as I've told you many times here, were the very best of the Jews. They were the faithful ones. They were the ones who wanted to follow the law exactly in order to obey God. Many of Jesus' followers were Pharisees, by the way. We sometimes think that the Pharisees were his enemies because he criticizes them a lot. But the real enemies of Jesus were the Sadducees. They're the ones who collaborated with the Romans to have Jesus executed. So the Pharisees were good people. So when we hear Jesus telling the story, we should think about the very best Christian we know coming to church. So one of them was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. And tax collectors in those days, they were Jews, but they worked for a government that was not Jewish, for the Roman Empire. And they collected taxes for the enemy. And the way they got paid was through extortion. They actually collected more money than the taxes required and pocketed that money themselves. So this is a really bad sinner. So you got a really good guy going to church and a really bad guy going to church. And that's the framework of this story. The Pharisee, the good guy, took up his position. We don't know where that was, but it sounds like it was right in the front of the church, you know, in front of the altar, and spoke this prayer to himself. He's not even praying to God, he's praying to himself, about himself. And he says, O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity. Just look around you, okay? Greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, which was twice as much as Jews were required. And I pay tithes, 10%, on my whole income before taxes. How many of you do that? Don't raise your hands, please. But this guy is more religious than anyone in this room right now. But the tax collector, Jesus said, stood in the back of the temple and would not even raise his eyes to God. You know, raising your eyes to God is a gesture of trying to connect with the divine. But beat his breast and prayed, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And here comes the punchline, the mirror on the mind of God. Jesus said, "I tell you, the latter, the bad guy, the tax collector, went home justified." And to be justified means being right in your relationship with God. "And not the former, the Pharisee, the holy guy. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." So the saint is the sinner, and the sinner is the saint. Jesus often tosses things upside down for us. What are we to make of this? I have 5 points, 5 practical points. First one is this. Everyone in this room, including me, is both the Pharisee and the tax collector. Sometimes we're more one, sometimes we're more another. But everyone here is striving to be holy. You wouldn't be in church on Sunday, right? And at the same time, we are self-centered sinners. Okay, there are no exceptions. Point number two. It's always very dangerous to make comparisons. That's what the Pharisee did. He compared himself to others and thought he came up on top. This is not the way God thinks about any of us at all, that one of us is better than the other. And you and I need to correspond our way of thinking and way of acting according to God's plan, right? Rather than our own. So when you find yourself making comparisons of yourself, either for better or for worse with other people, you're making a big mistake, both psychologically and spiritually. We're only supposed to compare ourselves to God. We're supposed to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, and not compare ourselves to our brothers and our sisters. Third thing, there's a danger, for some of us at least, who know we're sinners, to act like the Pharisee, to say, "Well, all those people who are good are just hypocrites. They're all hypocrites, those people who pretend. Those of us who are bad are the people that Jesus likes." You know, turning things upside down themselves, acting like the Pharisee, judging other people. And that's not what this scripture reading is telling us. It's not telling us that it's better to be a sinner than to be a saint. What the reading is telling us is it's important to be humble, whether you're a sinner or a saint. And it's in that humility that we find God's plan for us. And that's the fourth point. What is humility? Well, humility comes from a Latin word, humus, which means dirt. And then we jump to the conclusion, well, that means if you're humble, you just think you're dirt, right? No, it reminds us of our origin. When you read the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, and God creates Adam and Eve, what does he do? He takes the dirt from the soil, forms man in an image like clay, and breathes life into it. And what humility, when we say humility is based on the earth, it's reminding us where we come from. All of us are God's creatures. We're not the creator. And everything we have, whether it's our psychological life, our physical beauty and strength, our intelligence, our athletic abilities, whatever it is, all that we have is a gift from God and not something that we have on our own. You know, sometimes the wise people of the church have said that humility is the truth. It's knowing who you are in relationship with God and knowing who are in relationship with one another. Depending on God, but also seeing our brothers and sisters as our equals. You know, like I said at the beginning, God loves each one of us uniquely and personally. He doesn't love us equally. He loves each one of us uniquely and personally. But he values each one of us equally. And we need to value one another in the same kind of way. So we need to examine our hearts and our conscience. Are you humble in your relationship with God? Are you humble in your relationships with others? In your family, among your relationships and friends, at your place of work, in school, wherever you find yourself? You know, seeing other people through the eyes of God is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and to be a Christian, and to love one another as our brothers and our sisters. Point number five, everything's a grace. The word grace means gift. Nothing in life that's good is our own doing. Everything in our life that's good is a grace from God. And we need to have grateful hearts because God has blessed us abundantly. And that was what was wrong with that Pharisee. He didn't see everything as a gift. He saw things as his own self-accomplishments. And the gift that was received by the sinner, the tax collector, was knowing the truth that he was saved by God. You know, Jesus came to save who? Sinners, right? And if we don't admit that we're sinners, we can't accept salvation. God only saves sinners. And that's each and every one of us. Now, I'd like to take a slight diversion to today's second reading as my final point. Our second reading is from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. I mentioned earlier that St. Paul was a Pharisee, right? Like the Pharisee in today's gospel. And like the Pharisee in today's gospel, in this reading, in this passage from his letter to Timothy, St. Paul is bragging. Listen to what he says. Beloved, I am already being poured out like a libation. You know what the word libation means? It means a poured offering to God. I mean, like if you have a good bottle of wine, the first thing you do is pour out some of it on the ground as an offering to God. You know? Or they poured blood on the altar as an offering to God. It's a pouring out of a liquid offering. And St. Paul says, my life is like being poured out as a sacrifice to God. I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now the crown of righteousness awaits me. Here's this Pharisee who's bragging, right? How is that different from the Pharisee in today's gospel? Well, we read on in the reading. The difference between that Pharisee and the Pharisee Paul is that Paul acknowledges that the source of all the good things that has happened in his life is God's grace. He says this, the Lord will rescue me from every evil threat and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. He acknowledges the good that God has done in him rather than seeing that good as something he does himself. May the Lord help us to be humble like St. Paul and see the gifts that he has poured into our lives. And may we love one another as our brothers and sisters and never see ourselves as superior to anyone else.